I kind of feel you've got to know John a little bit already, which is great, which is not just a measure of this guy, but of you and your willingness to get to know new people. So it's great to have John with us, and for the whole week, really looking forward to all that you've got to share, my friends. So let's pray for John. Often at Crops, when we pray, we use our hands, right? So if you, because I'm not expecting you all to come and like pray for John, but if when I pray, if you want to, yeah, I want to join in with this bit of audience participation, just put your arm out like that. It's like, yeah, it's all there in the Bible, laying hands on people. So yeah, let's pray for John. Father God, thank you for John. Thank you for his story, who you've made him to be, the journey he's been on, Lord. And I just pray now, Lord, as he comes and speaks, that you would fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit. The words that you want him to share with us today, Lord, the message that you put in his heart, Lord, would just flow out from deep within him. That which is burning inside of him, Lord. I just pray that your anointing would be upon him, Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much. Would one person, you can all clap. Go on, I like it when people clap me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You don't even know if I'm any good yet. thank you. I'm going to put my Bible on the floor. Now, when I put my Bible on the floor, because I do want to read out of it later, I usually forget where it is. Can you all just remind me that my Bible's on the floor? Is that okay? Amazing. Thank you very much. Thanks, mate. Yeah, not now. Later. I'm really excited to be with you guys. Like, genuinely, you're so welcoming and lovely. And you're all such lovely young people. And it's lovely to be here. I'm exhausted, I'll be honest with you. Is anyone else feeling tired at the moment? Literally, I usually wake up at about like 8 o'clock in the morning, right? Literally. Yes, it is literally. Thank you for catching me on my own thing. I usually wake up at 8 in the morning. This morning, I woke up at 5:30. Right? To make sure my bags were ready, I had to get to the train station, all that stuff. Honestly, so if none of my sentences make sense, please forgive me. I'll be on better form tomorrow. Also, I love your crumble song. At first, I wasn't sure what was happening when people stood up on the chairs. I thought it was some kind of weird pagan ritual. But then I realised it was just you all being weird. That's fine. So the series of talks, I'm doing a few talks. So if you're writing notes, you can write notes. We're going to do a series. So I'm going to do four talks with you. The first one, which today is because we're talking about form, today is about being formed for a purpose. I believe every single one of you, and biblically it's sound, that there is an amazing and incredible plan for every single one of your lives, and you are formed for a purpose. And that's amazing. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about formed for relationship. Believe you are formed to be in relationship not only with God, in that beautiful relationship with God that he calls you to prioritize, but also we believe that we're called to be in relationship with each other. And that's not just boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever relationships, okay, everybody? We're also called to be in a body, which we'll talk a bit more about. And then after that, we're going to explore, I've called it formed to be a disciple. So we're going to look at what does being a disciple is a follower of Jesus. So then we're going to look at what does a follower of Jesus look like? If people are talking while I'm talking, it's going to be really distracting for me. I'm sorry, I really struggle with background noise as I'm talking. So if you could keep the whispers to yourself for a little while, that would be amazing. Has anyone ever seen this scripture before that should be, we said about before? It's Jeremiah 29:11. Has anyone ever seen this before? Pop your hand up for me. Yes, like it. Elegant Erin has seen it as well. Yeah, nice. Does anyone know about, Erin did a dance battle last time I saw her. This is true, with a man named Ballet Bob, and it was in front of about how many people? Let's say 200 people? And she did a dance battle. That's true, just a random thing. She won, of course she did. This is what I want to talk about today. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and to give you a future." Has anybody been brought up in like a Christian family or around church their whole life? Pop your hand up for me. Yeah, I thought that would be the majority of people. So you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. Pop your hands back down. I'm one of three boys. So I'm the youngest of three boys, right, called Martin and Jamie. And I've got my mum and my dad. And when I was born into my family, we weren't Christians at all, right? We weren't Christians. And they were going through a bit of a crazy time, my mum was, right? She was really suicidal, having a horrible time. She used to say that to us, and it made us really sad, obviously, because seeing your mum say horrible things is not very nice. And then my mum and dad were going to break up, and my brother was going to go to jail because he was fighting so much, and horrible stuff going on in the family. And then they kind of stumbled across a church one day. Amazingly, incredibly, the church was called Rugby Christian Life Centre, because I'm from a little town called Rugby. And from that moment, my mum and my brother became radical Christians. It was unreal. So my mum's like, depression went. She started being one of these happy, clappy Christians. But they didn't just go a little bit Christian. And you guys all know what this means. They went like mad Christian. They like happy, clappy, screaming, Kisa Mahonda everywhere, talking in tongues all the time. And they were praying for healing in the streets for people. I mean, it was amazing. But as a young man, that was quite embarrassing. Anyone ever find that embarrassing sometimes when their family does that kind of... Because I didn't understand what was going on, I was like, what the heck is this stuff? So I knew that there was a plan for my life, right? Or I was always told. But if I'm being totally honest with you, I felt a little bit of pressure. I felt a little bit of pressure to be this person that kind of my brother and my mum wanted me to be this Christian person that they wanted me to be, even though, to be honest, I wasn't really sure what I wanted. And it basically turned me into the biggest hypocrite you've ever met in your life. So a hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does the other thing. So I was living this amazing double life, right? Kind of the age of 14 to 18, my brother was my youth worker, so I couldn't get away from him, okay? And he was always telling me about Christian stuff. And I turned kind of hypocrisy and doing one thing and doing the saying one thing and doing the other into a masterful art form. It was beautiful. I was at school and I'd been getting involved in all the naughtiness that I wanted to get involved with from kind of year 7, year 8, year 9, up to the age of about 14. I was just such a naughty little boy. And then I'd be in church. I'd be singing, ah, like a little angel. And all the grandmothers would be looking at me going, wow, I would love my granddaughter to date that beautiful young man. But really, that's not what I was like. And I was never caught being this hypocrite. Apart from maybe one time I got caught, okay? One time I got caught, I was doing work experience. Does everyone know what work experience is, right? So I was doing work experience with something called Rugby Youth for Christ, right? And what they do is they go into schools and they talk about Jesus in schools. Anyone got someone that comes into their school and talks about Jesus sometimes? Yeah, that kind of thing, right? Why did you all roll your eyes? Is that person in the room? Yeah. Is that Matt? Yeah, so imagine I was going around with Matt at the age of 14 going into schools and delivering these lessons. And then on Friday night, I had to run a youth group. Not a youth group, it was like a kids group for 4 to 8-year-olds, right? And I was supposed to be telling the story of something like David and Goliath, if you know that story. Story of David, a little tiny guy, going up to this giant, throwing a stone, conquering over. Yay, amazing stuff. David turns king. It's sick. Wicked story. Read it if you don't know it. Anyway. They were waiting for me to turn up to deliver this story. These 4 to 8-year-olds, I was on my work experience, and they start looking at the clock, and I'm just not turning up. And they're like, where's John? To the point where, obviously, I couldn't have been doing anything naughty because I was such a good angel, right? Because I was so good at hiding the fact that I was up to all kinds of nonsense otherwise, that they rang the police because they thought I'd been kidnapped. Right? So they rang the police, thought I'd been kidnapped, and then my mum, she starts driving around Rugby terrified. She's got a Liverpudlian accent. She's like, R.A.R. John's gone missing. I'm missing him so much. Some random man must have put him in the car and ran away all my days. She's screaming, running around, and she's like, where is he? Where is he? And then she drives past this park, right? And she sees some of my friends in the park drinking alcohol. Right, drinking beer, and she goes, right, maybe they know where my son is. So she runs up to them. She goes, please, please, do you know where John is? Our John's missing. They go, yeah, we know where he is. He's getting off with Georgia in that bush drinking beer. I got caught. I was kissing a girl in the bush drinking beer, and then my mum caught me. The one time I got caught. Not a very good time to get caught when you're doing your work experience with Matt Wilde. No, I wasn't doing it with him, but can you imagine? That's a kind of equivalent. And that was the one time. And I always felt this pressure to be this person that my parents wanted me to be. Right? The pressure to do this Christian thing, to follow this plan that God had for my life that I didn't really, to be honest, even know if I wanted to. It sounded a bit boring. Christianity sounded a bit boring to me. Anyway, I got to about 16 and my brother moved away from rugby and he moved to London and I was finally free. I was like, yes, I no longer need to live this weird double life anymore. I no longer need to pretend to be this Christian person. I can go and I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it all the time. I'm going to go and do all the stuff I want to do. And I basically did that for 2 years. And it's not a very nice story. I ended up getting really heavily involved with kind of gang violence and drugs and alcohol and all kinds of horrible things for 2 years, to the point where I was had lots of friends that weren't very good for me, really heavily involved with kind of organized crime. And I couldn't actually leave the area that I was in because people wanted to fight me because of who I was or who I was involved with. I tried to get this plan for myself that I thought would be amazing. And in reality, the plan for myself was just a bit rubbish. So I decided to pray, like a heartfelt prayer for the first time in my life, right? And I was in my room by myself because I didn't want anyone to see me praying, right? That'd be weird. So I got on my knees in my room by myself and I didn't know what to do with my hands. Now, if you're praying, what would you do with your hands? What a lot of people do, right? A lot of people do this. But I wasn't sure, so I just kind of went like that, threw my hands in the air. And I said, you're right, God. How's it going, mate? I hope you're good. could you help me out? Because I'm a little bit stuck. And that's all the prayer was. Prayers don't need to be fancy. God's listening, isn't he? He knows what we sound like. And I was like, God, can you help me out? I'm a little bit stuck. And I waited with my hands in the air, on my knees in my room, and nothing happened. I was like, oh, God mustn't be real. So then I went to sleep and I woke up in the morning to a phone call from my brother, the brother that's a Christian, and he said, look, John, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I feel like you need to follow the plan and purpose that God has for you. Turn away from the life that you're living for yourself and follow the plan that God's got for you. For me, I took that as an answer to the prayer the day before, and I moved away from rugby, moved to London, stopped being involved in the stuff that I was involved with, stopped drinking, stopped smoking, all that kind of stuff. And started asking God, what is it you want me to do? I became there's a bit in the Bible, some of you might know, it says, you make all things work together for my good. It's in a worship song as well, so some of you might know it. Not that you don't read the Bible, but I just know that makes it more obvious sometimes. And God was using the stuff that I'd been through to help affect other people. I became a gangs worker in London, and I worked with young men, particularly who had been through lots of really bad kind of the gang system and was helping them make better decisions for themselves to follow the plan that God has for them rather than the plan that they had for themselves. And then I started rapping. I'm going to do a rap for you in a minute, by the way, if that's okay. Then I started rapping as a way to communicate the gospel and using the talent that God gave me. And then that took me on an amazing journey for like 5 years of touring all around Europe doing music and stuff. And it was amazing, but all for the purpose of sharing Jesus with people, part of that plan that God had for me. Not that I'm saying it's going to be the plan that God has for you won't look the same as it looked like for me, but I can tell you God has an amazing and incredible plan for your life. And you were formed for a purpose. I wrote a rap about that time. Does anyone want to hear the rap? Yes. Okay. Let's see if the track works. Hopefully this works. There we go. Can you all hear me okay? Good. Do you like rap? No, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Just don't listen. Yeah. Let me tell you something about me. Born in a little town called Rugby. Got two bros, I'm a last of three. Got no degree, school weren't for me. But not from a lack of trying, no lying. I couldn't do the work, so I started whiling. All my books went flying. So I started grinding, had no stack, so I had to attack that. Always want to clash with your boys, better backtrack in your face, and I'm needing a tic-tac. I get like a bad man thinking that I'm Tupac, silly young man with a roadman plan, trying to pull gal in my high-top Vans. Smoke cheese on my stinky hands, I was following the gang like a clergyman, thinking I was sick and there was no one sicker. Then I got addicted to sex and liquor. The bed I'd made, all this mess, I became its slave. And for what? A few drinks, some weed, a few lays, not gonna lie. Thought I was living the life, but that was simply a lie. Told in my mind, then I met Christ. Used to be blind, now I got sight. Then I went frantic, was drastic, ecstatic. Going low within Atlantis, went erratic, fantastic. Choice long lasted, now freedom's granted. He took all the blame, I'm never the same. He changed my life and I'm never ashamed. He took all my pain. For you, he'll do the same. So people, I don't care if you say that I'm mad. I'm glad I'm just a Jesus freak. What you say about that? Yeah! Cheers. How are you? How are you? Amazing. Get your Bibles out. Where's mine? Where's my Bible? Where is it? On the floor. Did I put it? You didn't even tell me. You were the guy who was telling me earlier. Oh, it's on the floor. When I asked you, you didn't even tell me. Right. Oh, thanks, mate. Got it. We're going to go to the book of John. The book of John is in the New Testament. It's part of the first four books of the New Testament that are called the Gospels. And they are the four books written about Jesus' life and how he lived and all that good stuff. And the title is A Woman Caught in Adultery. Look at me when you're there so I know you're there. And then we'll... John, oh, I haven't even told you. John 8:1-11. John 8:1-11. It's probably better if I tell you the verse rather than just getting you to guess, right? John 8:1-11. A woman caught in adultery. Right. Okay, once you get there, when you're not chatting, I'll know you're ready. Like it. Like that shirt, mate. Looks sick. Charity shop. Oh, it's a banger, bro. That's a banger. Okay. Right. A woman caught in adultery. I'm going to start reading it. Don't talk among yourselves because I'm dyslexic and it's hard to read out loud. Yes, dyslexia. Right. Represent. Okay. Represent. Neurodiversity. Yeah. Right. Anyway, Jesus returned. I don't even know what time it is. Right. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Did even one of them condemn you? Turn the page. No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Just for the record, if you think Jesus wasn't a radical, amazing person that went against the grain in every area of life, you don't know the Jesus that's in this book. You ain't read about him. He's not a boring person. This is well exciting. So you've got this story, right, of this woman who's basically been caught in adultery and they're going to go and stone her. Now, looking this way for me, please. When we think about this idea of stoning from our context and our culture, we don't really know what that means. This isn't like little pebbles they're throwing at someone. These are big old bricks to basically go and kill this woman. So what's happened is this woman's probably being dragged towards basically her death. What they used to do was sometimes they used to dig this hole, put their body in the hole, fill it up just so their head was out the top, and they'd throw bricks at their head until they were dead. This was a horrible, horrible thing that still happens today. in some cultures. So this is a horrific thing that's going to be happening. So they're taking him away. They're taking this woman away, rightfully so, in the laws of Moses. And Jesus stands between the woman and the leaders and says, "Stop." And they started explaining, "Oh, she deserves to be stoned. We caught her." And scripture says that Jesus started writing in the sand. Now, we don't know what Jesus was writing in the sand. Scholars will debate now what it is that Jesus was writing in the sand. Maybe he was drawing a line to say, "She's with me now. Everyone who comes to me is forgiven and made new." Maybe he was writing the sins of the Pharisees. These were the religious people at the time that were trying to kill this woman. Maybe he was writing their sins. Maybe he was writing like stealing, gossiping, bullying, immorality. Jesus stood up and said, "Whoever's without sin, cast the first stone." And then slowly they dropped their rocks and they walked away. Jesus was saying to them, "I know you. I know everything that you do in secret. You can't hide." In the same way that I was living this double life and I was saying, "You know what, I'm in this Christian thing and really I wasn't," this is the same thing Jesus will be saying to you guys today. He's saying, "You know what, I know. I know you. I know what you're doing in the secret place. You can't hide from me." And I feel like Jesus might be saying today is, "I know you. Be honest. Come to me. Step into this purpose and meaning and plan that I have for your life that's amazing and incredible." And if this is the first time you've heard about Jesus, just for the record, there's still an amazing and incredible plan for your life. And if the rest of this doesn't make sense, Jesus loves you unconditionally and wants to be in relationship with you. And when I was like 18 years old, I decided to walk away from that part of my life of hypocrisy, of living a life against what I declared, into the side of forgiveness. And today, you can be forgiven of that wrong stuff that you're going through. And you can step into that purpose and plan that God has for your life. In a moment, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to do that. To step into that plan and purpose that God has for your life. Let's start this week well, right? Let's start this week by, as much as you're going to have loads of fun, it's going to be amazing. This is also an opportunity for you to step into that relationship with God in a new way. So what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to count down from 3 to 1 and I'm going to ask you to stand up. Now, there's nothing particularly magical about you standing up. It's just you making a physical declaration and going, "Yeah, you know what? I'm in on this. I want to follow the plan that God's got for my life." And the reason I want you to stand up is sometimes following Jesus can be a little bit scary, right? We're not called to have the most amazing, lovely life as part of this plan that God's got for us. Sometimes it can be hard. And you stepping up, although you might be nervous, that's an example of going, "You know what? Stepping into this relationship with God is something for me." So I'm counting down from 3 to 1. If you want that, I want you to stand up and then we're going to do a prayer. And that prayer is going to sound like, "Dear God, I'm sorry for the wrong stuff I've done. I thank you that you died for me. I want to follow the plan. I thank you that you came back to life. I want to follow the plan and purpose that you have for me forever and ever. Amen." Right? That's what we're going to do. All right, exactly, but we're going to do the prayer in a minute. But thank you for the preemptive prayer, the preemptive amen, I love it. Right, and count down. 3, 2, 1. If that's for you, I want you to stand up for me. I don't want you to stand up just because your friends are standing up. I want it to be a genuine decision of you going, "God, I want to be in relationship with you." Amazing. Amazing. Now we're going to pray. I'm going to say some words and you'll repeat after me. Dear God. There you go. One more time. One more time. Don't worry. It was the first time. It's hard to do that one. Dear God. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you you came back to life. I thank you that you forgive me for all the wrong stuff I've done. I want to follow the plan and purpose that you have for my life forever and ever. Amen. Give yourselves a round of applause, guys. That's amazing. Sit back down for me. Now, what there is now this is the exciting bit, right? If you're doing worship, feel free to come up. this is the exciting bit. Because in the Bible, right, you'll notice the disciples, when they start following what Jesus said, that's when they get really excited. And they are full of so much purpose and meaning. It's amazing and incredible purpose and meaning that you can gain from being in relationship with God. And that is just, it excites me. And there's a party going on in heaven right now because you've made that decision. So give yourselves a round of applause one last time. What I'd love is during this next time of worship, I'd love you just to try and make it a time about you and God, right? So don't worry about what your friends are doing on your left or on your right, because ultimately you've got a week to hang out with them. This is a moment that's particularly for you and God. I want you to focus on the fact that it's about you and God. Amazing.